to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we sit together in a small room in a house in the middle of nowhere. And by nowhere, I mean nothing. Oh, but we're together in this cozy little bar. Doesn't matter if you don't drink, they got water.
I don't drink water.
Yes, you do. You should. You should drink more. Your pee should be clear. Just like my thinking. Oh, it's a lovely day today, and whatever you've got to do, you got a lovely day to do it in, that's true. And I hope whatever that you've got to do, but something dapper is something that can be done by two, for I love her too, I love her to sing. Oh, it is a lovely day today, my friends, and welcome. I am grabbing a hold of my organ today because I'm feeling the spirit. I tell people that. They say I'm not feeling too good. I say, grab a hold of that organ. It really is inspiring. And what I'm doing today is I'm playing the organ at a sort of piano bar. I know that's counterintuitive, but I brought the organ. I didn't know it was a piano bar until I got here. And I said, oh, I dragged this huge organ the whole way. And so I'm going to play it now. But it's a sort of piano bar at the end of the universe because it's all gone. Now, I know you've seen those Doctor Who. Doctor Who, Doctor Who. Here comes Doctor Who. He's got a space TARDIS and he's going to. Anyway, you know it. And sometimes there's episodes where everything in the universe is gone except for this one bed and breakfast or some kind of Victorian house, which is lovely. And really, if it's self-contained, who needs the rest of the universe? But it's disconcerting because you stand out on that porch and everything is gone. It isn't just empty space. It is complete nothingness. It is just a void. At the end of space-time continuum street. You know, so that's scary. But it's also lovely. We've got everything we need in here. And we're just going to entertain one another. I'm going to sing some songs for you. And play a little music, and we all love that, and reminisce a bit. And the organ, I think, is one of the most inspiring instruments because it's got a sort of human sound, those pipes. We call our own internal organs pipes sometimes. So what a set of pipes you have there. You say, excuse me? Because the organ pipes emulate all sorts of things, and even the human colon. There's some low notes. If you've ever been in a church service that has one of those beautiful old pipe organs, sometimes the low notes, You'll go, oh my goodness, and you'll look at you accusingly at your elderly neighbor. But it wasn't. It was just a beautiful B flat that's just resonating. And what they would do is on the pipes of the church organ, on some of the low notes, they would put literally, it was like a pig's bladder on there to get that kind of flappy dubstep drop on it. Oh, they knew how to do so many things back then that we don't have the technology now. And as you know, the theme of this show, Hardy White Show with the Miracle Nutrition Singers, is a sacred harp tune. And the sacred harp refers to the human rib cage, which can be extracted and used as a harp. You can pluck it, depend on the tune it. Tune the ribs, and just a wonderful thing. And that's why it's named that. And also, there was an instrument called the sackbut, and I think that was made from a couple different human parts, maybe even. Who knows? Back then, they mentioned instruments in the Bible, even. They say they grabbed their instruments and they did things. They blew loud notes. One of them blew down walls. And I don't know if they're being literal. You know, you've been to shows like that and say that low note, it like blew the wall out when I was at that DJ set. And who was it? DJ Gabriel. Oh, I know him. He's trouble. He does cause structural damage. That's why we don't have him anymore. He's got those big. How big are those speakers? They're the size of the Lord's hand. That's pretty big. And I don't know what but the ohms are what matter. So is it 4 or 8? I don't know. My goodness. I'm just here to provide a little bit of cheer. I'm here to wipe away a tear. Oh, I'm sorry, that was splattered beer. I need to get nearer to you. Oh my goodness, I draw nearer to you in my heart today as I express this organ, which I said is like blowing air out of all ends of a person. And we are. We're just an elaborate, silly straw. I had one of those as a youth. So they have your regular straw, which is a straight line. And then there was something called a silly straw. And instead of taking the direct route from the glass of strawberry quick to your mouth, it would go in this crazy circuitous route, like a knot, all this time. And then up into your mouth, silly straw. And so you could see the liquid dance around this tangle of tubes. That's like your colon. And that was a good lesson then. You aren't just one long tube or something like it. Is it a sea squirt? That's just one of those sea slugs, that sea cucumber, whose mouth and anus, I think, are the same orifice. I've had roommates like that. But my goodness, there's so many ways to be biological life. And I think they all love experimental music. A lot of times we think, oh, it's just, you know, structured music that we recognize the chord progressions on that really can inspire us. But I think that it's not just that, but I have angry tone clusters, too. I'm not going to do one now because I don't want to. Oh, I tricked you. I think they are effective as well. And I had a tape in the 90s, and it was called Baby Ives. And Baby Mozart was popular at the time, and people were playing Mozart for infants. And I said, well, there's so much more that can be done than that. I said, let's get some really just fists on the keyboard stuff for the children. Let's expand their mind. Mozart, is that what you want? Is that how conventional you want their brains to be? Everything seems very structured. It's just like an infantile robot or something. And we don't want that. So I thought, we'll introduce the little babies to just all sorts of experimental music. And that includes some harsh tones, and because it's a harsh realm, isn't it? Oh, my goodness, I don't want to make your realm any harsher than it has to be. Does it have to be? It doesn't have to be harsh, does it? Do we make it harsh by using the wrong laundry detergent? You can take a very soft pair of underwear and make it unwearable by washing it in the wrong thing. Really, like if you washed it in oatmeal, and then the oatmeal dried, and it's like stucco. And then you got stucco underwear, and that's got to hurt. When I was a young person, there was a way of doing ceilings in the interior of houses that was... they really thought themselves clever. And that what they would do is they'd cut up little pieces of foam, and then they'd kind of spray that on, and have this textured, rough textured ceiling, which provided a tiny bit of sound insulation or something like that. But it was rough, and it called a popcorn ceiling because it had these little bits of foam in it. You could smoosh them with your finger, take it up the popcorn ceiling, go, oh, that little, I can make the little lump. Maybe over time I could smooth out this whole ceiling. A lot of people got rid of them after it dates a house because it's like having a bouffant or something. So, oh, I don't know what decade you're from, house, because of your popcorn ceiling. But my most vivid memories of them are staring up at them, laying in bed as a child, and having fever hallucinations, which happened a lot more because you'd have those kind of near-death viruses. As a kid, I remember those. Say, "Am I all right, Mama?"
"Yes."
And you go, "Oh, I've got something Victorian, don't I?" But if you survive that, that's pretty good. You go on and you can use the fever hallucinations later in life, and they can inform your art. I'm inspired by religious services as long as I don't listen to the content. But the instrumentation always is fascinating to me. And again, the pipe organ. My goodness. What a strange, first of all, a strange name. This is not a pipe or sine pas un peep organ. This is not a pipe organ I have right here. It's a synthesizer. And a synthesizer is something that makes a sound that sounds like something else, but it ain't it. So I could make this synthesizer sound like, here's the irony, here's the meta, is that the organ itself is supposed to sound like other instruments. You know, like, oh, what is that, a trumpet? Yes. It doesn't really sound like a trumpet, but the organ itself is supposed to be a synthesizer. And then to have a synthesized organ, do you see where I'm going, is a layer of skeuomorphic removal that's strange and alien. So that's why I wanted to do this, is have to play the meta-organ for you in a piano bar at the edge. It's not really the edge of the universe, because if everything is missing except this house that we're in together, the bar is in a small inn, a house that's been made into an inn, and we're in the bar. And so if everything outside is an empty void, which is what the show feels like to me, it's like I'm in a little room, and then everything beyond it, nothingness, really. Not, bless your heart. Are you calling us nothing? No. I just don't have any evidence of your existence. But if everything is gone, beyond that, we are not the center of anything. We're not the edge of anything. Do you see?
Yes.
The edge of the universe would just be the wall of the house. Oh, you're fuguing with me. I am. I'm in a fugue state. Oh, my goodness. I am so blessed to be with you today and entertain you like this, and I wish I knew some more songs. All the leaves are brown, all the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray, and the sky is gray. I've been for a walk on a winter's day. There we go. I found it. My musical technique is if you resolve it, everybody's going to be happy. Everybody's secretly happy at the end of a song. If you go out to the symphony or anything, I mean, they're not clapping and cheering during it. Like, but when it ends, they're going, yes, yes, the end. Because there's something excruciating about the pleasure that you experience during the musical number. And you say, part of me wants it over. Part of me just wants to be at the other end of the concert. Ah, that was great. Now, can we go talk about it in a quiet place? Performances are often something to be survived. And we're not always conscious of that because we paid a lot of money for it. Or so many trains. How many subway lines did I take to get to that performance? I'm determined to like it. And if I don't like it, I know that it is adjacent to this place that sells some sort of thing that I can put in my mouth that I do like. And it'll make everything better. And it will counteract and it will become an antidote to the bad art or to the aesthetic assault that I had when I went to that show at that little performance space and was disappointed. I don't want that to happen to you. Oh my goodness, you're not trapped in a room. Can you imagine if you had to come across town to some sort of basement performance space to see me, and you get 10 minutes into the show and you go, oh God, oh good Lord. Because you can't, and then you go, oh, there's six people. And you're screaming inside. And you go, well, I'm just going to relax. And I'm just going to, wherever I am, it's like getting stranded at the airport. There's nothing I can do about my canceled flight. So I'm going to observe this performance artist. And I'm going to make it to the end. And maybe, you know, it'll... do that. Oh, that night had left me somewhere familiar. You hijacked me. You took me out on that boat. I didn't know where we were going. I was scared to death, but at least you dropped me at a safe port. Hi, my friends. I'm Hardy White. I am your organ grinder, and also my own monkey. And I would love you to be your own monkey, too. Oh, we can be so many things to ourselves, but one of the most amazing things we can be is a captive tiny monkey. I am my own monkey. I am my own primate. I go collect the money from the people, or I put my little tiny monkey hand and paw in their pocket. But my left hand is missing. Why? Because somebody needed a prop for the stupid play, The Monkey's Paw. And nobody, why would you need a real monkey's hand, this poor monkey? That's why I work with them, is because that's just ridiculous. Taking things from creatures like that when they're using them. And eventually monkeys will be born with three hands and one of them will be disposable. So I'm just planning on it being cut off, stuff like that. If allowed to evolve, elephant tusks would have eventually grown with their own scrimshaw, ruining it for any of the sailors. And same with whales. You cut up a whale and it goes, it's all already scrimshawed. It's like getting a sketch pad that's already drawn in. You go, oh, these sketch pads are on sale. And you open it up and you go, there's a drawing on every page. And some are just scribbles. What's the point? So like that's how evolution doesn't work. But I love the way that we can speak about that together and think beyond, not outside the box, because there is nothing out there. So that takes a lot of weight and burden off of us. Say, oh, let's think outside the box and be creative. There's nothing out there. There's nothing out there. Why don't we just, I don't think the box has been fully explored and exploited. Let's look around the box. Let's think inside of it. Maybe it's a tesseract or something, and maybe it's a hypercube. So maybe the outside of the box is inside of it anyway. Oh my goodness. These are complicated thoughts you're saying. No, they're not really. They're like photographs of street signs. An out-of-context message. Those are important, though, in our lives. My goodness. And this is a little piece I call traffic signals. Stop. Whoop, I messed it up already. Stop. Anything you're doing that's destructive, yield to the better inclinations in yourself. You turn and you see yourself repairing the world. No, you turn. Oh, sorry. I thought you meant that. You up to speed limit 55. There's no limit to age. I don't know. There's some more. I can't think of any street signs. I almost didn't pass my driver's license test. Because you've got to, sometimes you've got to identify the street sign by the word on it. And I overthink things. So, I don't merge. What do you mean? Something like that. And then I'll see, sometimes when I see things that end with an E, I think, is it, if it's German, I say the E. So I get confused. And I don't speak German. That's the other, I wonder if it's a past life. I wonder that. I was born, it would coincide, I was born, I could be, the years line up right where I could be a reincarnated German because of when I was born, I think. So I don't know. There's been a lot. They've been around for a while on people who speak it. It's so weird that English takes up so much room in the human brain that often it's the only language you can speak. Because it's just like, I wish I was, my brain wasn't that full, that I could, there was room for other languages. I don't know how y'all do it. But there's so many ways to express ourselves, the way we express. I didn't want to use the, oh my goodness. I was going to say a gland or something because I couldn't think of anything else that's expressed. But, oh my, you know, if you've got feelings in you, so I've got to get them out. Hardy, how do I do it? You know, and I'd say art is good. You know, art, yes, but here's the thing. You've got to throw it away. Whatever you make, so if you're trying to get something out of yourself and you turn it into art, you must then dispose of it. Don't keep it. You know, what you're trying to do is get it out of your system. You've absorbed everything from it that you need. And it's now turd. And you got to get all that stuff that can't be digested out of you. So that's your art. But other people don't need to see it. And they might not want to see it. It's very rare that the things they're excreted and expelled from our emotional selves through our pipe organs or something that people want to see or hear. No one wants to hear my music. I make music and no one cares about my music that I make. They don't need to hear it cause I got their own music. So that's sometimes too. You think nobody... Hardy, no one's buying my raisin cookies. A lot of people don't like raisins. And also they might have their own. So if people like raisins, they might be making their own raisin cookies. And if they don't like raisins, they're not going to want yours. Well, what do? Eat my own cookies? Yes. Why not? Why can't your art be for your own consumption? I like to say, oh, I make art on like when I need it. So let's say I'm like, okay, I'm opening an art gallery. Oh, damn it. Look at all the empty walls. So you make something for it. Or like, oh, I'm staging a musical. Uh-oh, I need some music. And then you have a reason to write it. But I never do it the other way around. You know, I've made some art. Now I got to go look for somebody to show it to. That seems icky. I wouldn't do that. But I know that that's the way that every other human being does it. And I don't, that's fine with me. My goodness, all I'm doing is taking advantage of having you trapped in this bar at the edge of the, it's not the edge, at this bar somewhere in a universe that no longer exists. In this bar, and there's nothing outside of it but us. It contains its own logic, which is good. I don't have to reference anything outside of itself. Can you imagine a whole world that references nothing outside of itself? Yes. Like Wizard of Id? Yes. Like those old comic strips in the paper. They did that. They would really, it was just a self-contained world. Oh, that crazy carp. Oh, that's BC. BC was like that. I guess BC, the comic strip, couldn't acknowledge anything that happened. AD. So I'm not sure. And that's considerably before Christ, isn't it? The caveman days and everything. And that's what that was. I don't know. That's not a time I think of. BC, I think. When someone say BC, I think, oh, there's a big event coming up. You know, but I mean prehistory. That's funny to make that the focus of your funny strip. Because it's, oh, remember what people were like when they were cavemen? No, I don't. And I haven't even read about it. And you don't either. So I don't know why you're trying to make a funny thing of it. At least Wizard of Id, it's like, okay, that's the roughly Middle Ages or something. Maybe a kind of mythical Middle Ages. I do not know. But a time of wizards and kings. And let me take you to that time now. Wizards and kings. It's really unfair when I do things like that because you think, oh, something's coming up. And you kind of settle in and you, I recognize the musical cues and he's going to tell a story or sing a song. And then I drop it and shift and you feel a little, I know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to do that. But I do like to bring attention to, as I'm doing something, I like to break down whatever wall is there and ruin it. I don't know why that is. It's like I couldn't make a movie because everybody, I'd be looking at the camera going, this is a movie. This is a movie. I just want everybody to know that. We've been at it a few minutes being pretend and everything. And I just feel like that's such a lie. And this is a movie. And then the weird part is that all that's scripted of me saying, this is a movie. So not even that's not spontaneous. But I believe that general self-awareness is almost a difficult thing. It's like really self-awareness is like looking at the back of your head. I mean, you have to do it. You have to trust a lot of mirrors and angles or have someone look at the back of your head going, like, what do you think's going on there? And they tell you, and then you go, okay, I guess that's me. But that's not really being able to look at yourself like that. So you're never really able to look at yourself. And, I've got a camera. I could put the camera. Oh, right. I'm not being literal anyway. My goodness. I'm just trying to pick an impossible situation. The whole point of that comparison is I want it to remain impossible. Let's just assume you can't do it. So then what?
Well, like you said, other people could look.
Right. So that's a sort of, that's difficult too. Because you, well, oh my goodness. Do I have to be the person that others think I am? It depends who is paying you. Sometimes they make you be someone they paid you to be. Sometimes the investment is emotional and people feel they've invested something into you and you've got to deliver by being the person they expect you to be. That's going to be someone's senior theme this year. I really feel it. So our class chose your song, Be Who You Want to Be, every time you want to be somebody. But Hardy, oh, thank you. I knew that it would finally resonate like a whoopee cushion organ pipe low note with the young people. And just, I always say that, you know, wait for the drop. That's what I'd say if I was, that would be my scary, like, you know, sometimes in debates, candidates will look at the camera or something and say something cryptic, you know. And that's the one I would say. But I remember one time Lawton Chiles said, like, the coon hunts at midnight, or something like that. And I forget, it was Jeb Bush or whoever he was running against, just looked at him like, oh my God. And it did. That's exactly what ended up happening. So I want to look out there and say something mystical to you, nonsensical maybe, that only we will be our fun inside joke. And like I said, maybe our inside joke is the outside joke. That's what when I say inside voice only, that's what I mean. It's like only references to our friend group's jokes about things we've done together. That's an inside voice. Outside voice, that's what we show the world. Our inside voice is what we'd use with our intimate friend group. My intimate friend group is online. They turned out to be AI bots. I don't care, and I'm actually relieved, because I thought they were human, and both of them talked like they might smell bad. So I'm glad they're machines, because they don't have an odor. Oh, you got it, just a minute. And then, oh, my heart is so full. Why is it full right now? I don't know, but I guess I'm going to drain it a little and go back and get more. Oh, my goodness. Hopefully, if it keep filling it up like a Kobayashi full of hot dogs, and it'll swell. And soon, my heart will be bigger than my entire existence, and I will let the whole universe in. And that's called being dead. Oh, I have to start practicing. That's the part of my life now, is you got to start practicing for accepting your own death. I guess you got to do that the whole time, but now really you have to start actively training. It's like having the Olympics come up. You're going, I guess I'm not getting out of this. And there's so much, you know, you used to at least have other, there's used to be lots of things to fear in life, like tigers eating you and things. I guess there are, for a lot of people there is. But, well, that's also death, though, isn't it? Listen, oh, my gosh, it's always looming. Is that it outside the bed and breakfast right now? Is that the thing on the other side of the porch of this beautiful house that we're in together? Is that death? Non-existence? Non-existence? I don't know. I mean, yes, it is out there. But now we're inside the house, so, well, it's now. Now is now. Let's now it up. That's what I say. And, but I want to stare outside. You're going to stare outside when we are in this piano bar. I got my organ out. We're having a party. It's amazing. We're all here. All our friends are here. There's a comment board, which is, something else. Oh my goodness. Oh, you beautiful. I want to seed the comment board like a cloud. I'm going to throw something in there and see, make it rain information by referencing something. And I'm not exactly sure how to do that. I will say this. All right. I will discuss the underground comic origins of the iconification. Is that a word? Of Shemp and Nancy. And I mean, I'm specific artists responsible and everything, but it's also indicative of a sort of a zeitgeist and the appreciation of certain pop culture images and what they represent. Go. Oh my goodness. No, don't. No, you can do whatever you want. I don't police anything. Oh, my goodness. That's why. Well, what if a fight breaks out in this piano bar and there's no kind of policing or anything like that? I didn't say I didn't throw bottles at people's heads. I just said I don't, you know, I'm going to wait until you won't know when the behavior gets to the bottle throwing stage. So just maintain an awareness of yourself and the situation, and we'll all just have a good time. Oh, I wish I had pedals, because this is a fake organ. There's no pedals. And it's a tough word for me to say. So pedals, it comes out pals or something like that. But the pedals, I guess because I want to say like pedals on a, keep hitting it too hard. So then I'm going to soften up your, it's pedals. And then it just sounds like a cartoon character's name. And then the word disintegrates into meaninglessness. And then I can't pronounce it. But these things that you stomp on that make the super low notes, I don't have them. And I guess I could make the... Welcome to David Lynch's Miracle Nutrition. That's not even low enough. I could make it... I should make it... No, now it's back to peppy. When I was a child, there was a... organ store in every shopping mall. Now there's not even shopping malls, which is like there's a time limit. I'm not be able to tell this story at all at some point.
What's a shopping mall?
It's something that people shopped at.
What's shopping?
And in a town.
What's a town?
And it's just I won't have anything to say. But shopping malls, those are weird abandoned things that look like Angkor Wat now. You know, overgrown and full of like angry mandrels or something and vines. And well, those used to be vibrant shopping areas. And one of the stores that was in there was always small organs. And no, there's no shame. Not every organ has to be a big pipe organ. They had these little ones for your home. And, you know, we're going to put this on our shag carpet in our 70s home. And and there were one key. No, that's the Casio slang tang rhythm. That was that came later, but this was before synthesizers, and these were proper electric organs, which is also a weird evolutionary transition. So you've got this organ, which is like I hit a note and this air goes through a pipe. Then you say, well, we can make that sound electronically. So they had these organs that were, you know, electric organs. And then I've been in some churches and everything where they've got the pipes, but the pipes are actually little speakers. There's speakers in the pipe. So it's fake. Which is just like shutters on a suburban house, most of them. Fake. Still there. Why? Don't know. And then, now we have computer synthesizers that sound like the fake organs that sound like the pipe organ, which sounds like the instruments. Just buy a trumpet. Get some friends. The organ is the same, has the same principle as the car, and at its core is loneliness. You know, so I don't need
an orchestra. I have all the instruments in my fingers. You're the bassoon,
right? So it's like a weird child.
My stuffed animals are my friends. I can order them around,
and that's what the. It's all available there on the organ. That's so scary. So it's very, it's, you know, autocratic and strange and lonely. And that's what the cars are, too. It's just this transportation. We keep adjusting and modifying it, but it's just like, you know, I must rot around in a coffin. I mean, that's my only stipulation is that I can't see anybody or people. I'm going to where there's people, but I don't want to see them yet. And I don't want to see them traveling. I don't want to be in some kind of communal coffin. So that's difficult. And you have to make everything adjust. So cars, organs, there's a lot of things like that. And you say, well, that's just, we just, you know, keep deciding to be lonely. And I don't know if the piano is really like that. I'll tell you why the piano is. Piano is for couples. Because I'm thinking of Ferrante and Teicher. You can literally, like, those two grand pianos pushed together is kind of a yin-yang thing going on, right? You can make it go, two pianos must have been, it's like continental drift. Look, you can see there was like a piano Pangea at one time. There's only one two-person piano, and then they split at some point in history. But like Ferrante and Teicher were like, watch this, and they pushed their pianos together. And Ferrante's over there, Teicher's over here, and they're, you know, ba-da-da-ba-ba. And then you go, now the piano makes sense to me. It's just the one, it's the heart, it's like Laura Palmer's heart necklace. Someone has the other half. Who is it? It's James? Is it James? Who has it now, though? Dr. Jacoby? And so I'm glad to point, that's why we switched to the organ, from because we're going, this is the most, this house floating in nothingness is the most solitary. A radio show with one person is the most solitary thing in the world. The Hardy White Miracle Nutrition is a car, it's an organ. It's a house floating in nothingness, and you are a guest here, trapped. I'm really envious that you can leave, because I stay here when you leave. Isn't that something? You say, oh, you just go off and live your life, and I'm right where you left me. And you go, that, I think, though, really? Yeah. I'm like, what if Mr. Rogers, I'm not Mr. Rogers, we're very different, lived in that damn house? And it was still a studio. Because that's what I feel like. I live in a house, but it's got, you know, there's the recording equipment's right there, and I don't leave. And I have neighbors. I've tried to strike up a relationship with the mailman, but he's not interested. And I've gotten his name wrong a bunch. I think he's in retirement. He's trying to retire, and he keeps training people, but they always, I don't know. It's just, it's not a easy job. And I don't, people don't have the stamina or patience or mental capacity to do it. But being a mail delivery person is like postal carriers is hard. And I love it. Hats off. Thank you for your service. I love getting my mail. And I'm not going to complain about it because it feels like an impossible task. If I get it at all, dying you. So it's a blessing. So these are the people in my neighborhood. And I live here in my self-created studio in the world that I have made. And I invite you into it.
Oh, Hardy.
Yes.
I don't mind coming into your world.
I'm glad you don't.
Can I help you clean up?
No, you don't have to help me clean.
Come on.
No. Okay. Well, since you're here, I can think of some things I need done. I asked an old lady in Atlanta years ago. I said, Millie? And this was like, it was like a poltergeist thing. I remember the minute it came out of my mouth, I could see in her eyes. I go, that's not an old lady. That's a demonic ancient spirit. So I said, Millie, is there anything I can help you with around here? Because she had an old lady with a heart condition. She go, and then her eyes lit up. And I was like, oh, damn it. Damn it. I just, that's it. And then she said, yes. And then I knew that the next thing out of her mouth were going to be things, and that they would involve a lot of calories being burned in the heat. So, yes, she wanted some kind of concrete planters brought downstairs or something. I just remember there was a lot of lifting involved. It was very elaborate, long. I signed myself up for involuntary servitude or something. And but it was worth it, because I don't even remember her last name. And I'm not sure. I hope it was because of it I'm going to heaven. I'm pretty sure. I've got some receipts. So I'm going to whip out that story. I don't know if this will help as they're heading me to hell. I got one more. There's this lady I did things for. All right, well, that seems the minimum. Ugh. People said, you don't have to.
Well, Ira, if you won't need me to write a letter.
No, bless you so much. Oh, you're all so generous. I know you're all saying that. If you need a letter of recommendation so that you don't burn in eternity. No, I think I'm good. I don't know. You know, you never know. And the thing is, I got friends there now, and I don't know what they're whether they're putting in a good word for me. And I'm not sure. We don't know for whom. Well, we do know for whom the bell tolls. You! We just don't know when. So you don't know if that's, is that my bell? I don't know if there's a tone difference. I think the bell that tolls for me has a slightly different timbre. So it'll go, it's like a gong or something. Kind of a dead, maybe it's one of those cymbals that's got the little rivets in it, that the splash kind of thing. Who knows what our bell sounds like? Cowbell? Oh, the bells come in all right. Jingle bell? No more bells. Cat bell. Cat bell isn't a thing, is it? That you put in a cat's net so they don't. But then I had my cat was killing all these deaf birds. And I thought, no, I'm just bringing it inside. So my cat passed away. She knows. She was an indoor cat, though. I didn't let her outside. And so, therefore, she lived for a million years. I had a cat live to 25 because of that. And bless her. Oh, these are the pets I've known. I'm going to think now about my dead pets. No, I'm not going to do that. Bless them. They're alive here in the house, though. There they all are. I hope it's not too much. Y'all can bring your dead pets with you to this wonderful space, but, you know, keep an eye on them, I guess is my only advice. And if you've got a lot, you know, I've got the whole, we lost a herd of cattle at my farm when I was a child. Not all of them. Pick one blessed favorite cow, and she can come and be with us. But, oh, what are you thinking now? Would you like? Miss all my dead friends. Well, not lots of close friends, but I am surviving. I don't feel bad, 'cause as much as either them or me, I guess we could all survive. But then I mean, then you think, well, what would headstone business people do, right? You start getting selfish. You go, wish there were no death or loss. And then you think, what would people in the funeral industry do? It's a hard grift as it is, man. They got to convince you to do all these things you don't need. How would they make a living? I guess they would just go on and sell cars that don't run or something else. That's the moral equivalent of a funeral business, but... Oh, the service they provide. I'm not too hot on it, because American Way of Dying. Did you see the movie? Or did you just read the book?
I don't know that book.
I know, isn't it? Denial of Death?
No, I don't know that book.
Isn't that ironic? So, yes, we live in a society, if we faced it more, and not just, it's funny, because my whole neighborhood now, oh, here we go. My whole neighborhood is giant skeletons. My whole neighborhood is giant skeletons, 16 foot giant, 20 foot giant skeletons. The skeletons of giants. There's giant skeletons, that's because when people put tiny skeletons out, someone accuses them of having child remains. I'm not kidding, that happened. That's we have giant skeletons, so no one thinks there's dead children. But giants, there's no giants, we're not put normal size skeletons. These don't make me scared, 'cause there's no giants. Put, I think, rather than skeletons even, put really realistic human remains there, Powder. You want Halloween to hit the way it oughta. I think that by cartoonizing these things, we're just like, that's not facing death. You're wasting the harvest season. It's supposed to be scary, legit scary. It's time to confront your own mortality. That's why you eat candy, so your teeth will hurt, and you'll know what it's like to have worms crawling in your remains. Like, death, oh death, how can it be? You should come and go with me. That's not the right words. Bertzilla Wallen, Conversation with Death. I think I played that on my very first WFMU show. I think I might have played Bertzilla Wallen in Conversation with Death. It's so beautiful. You might know who did it in the movie thingy. But she was the original recording there. I don't know if it's like Ralph Peer or something. But oh, bless you. Or the other fella that recorded Country People.
What are you talking about?
I'm thinking offline right now. I'm sorry. I'll get back with you. Oh, I'm engaged again. See, sometimes if you're imagining the world, it can slip away. If you're all in Hardy's dream, you go, what, did Hardy wake up? He woke up for a minute because he had to pee. He'll be back. And then the dream will resume. And I find that with my concentration. I go, there's my world. Came back again. It's recongealed. It's like leaving the ice. You can leave the ice cream out of the freezer. And you put it back, and it'll be ice cream again. It won't look exactly right, but it will. Maybe it changes a little when that happens, but it could happen a lot of times in transport, and you wouldn't even know. So that could, I don't know how many times. I don't even know where it came from, that ice cream. You think it's, oh, I get everything from the store. That's day one. Okay, fresh. I got it from the store on Tuesday. Oh, like all of us, that product has had a history that you're unaware of. And its real age is hard to tell, again, like a lot of us. So who knows? So we only know that moment when we met. And here we are now in the grocery store of our social interaction. But I don't know where you came from, and you don't know where I came from. And we have to assume that freshness starts now. That would be my grocery store motto. Freshness starts now, because it's completely meaningless. And I don't want to get people thinking too hard. Ugh, you don't need that. You don't need to think too hard. You need to be delivered. Who hasn't written? That's called Only Black Keys. That's a song that every child knows. Only black keys, I am only playing black keys now, and I'm a simpleton. Bum, 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 bum. Because I am a simpleton, and I don't mind. I embrace it sometimes. I contain not quite multitudes like Walt Whitman. I look at him and I think, all right, that literally, you contain multitudes. I contain, I don't know, plentitudes? Platitudes, platypus or something. Not quite multitudes. But I'm blessed. Because there is enough in me, mainly my internal organs. I love them. And the external ones, I think they get most of the attention. But also the characteristics, the internal characteristics, like the internal organs, do all the heavy lifting. Literally. And how much lifting really can your external organs do? I've seen fakers, you know, pick up boulders or whatever, but hey, with hooks, that's got to hurt. But inside the heart where we are now, together in this piano bar, playing music, sharing stories, and I was gonna put crowd sounds in and clinking glasses, and I thought that's a lot for, as someone who's had a little experience doing kind of soundscapes like that, it just gets annoying. And also in real life, we tune things out. So the thing is, like in radio, so let's say I had a soundscape of a bar or something, and I have a, you know, the clinking glasses and everything, you don't need perfect verisimilitude. What you need are things that give you clues that that's where you are. So when I have on a ship with the bosun and Captain Durr, the creaking is which lets you know it's a ship and not just a shoreline or something like that. So you get just enough information that you know where you are, because in real life, you tune things out. You're not hearing everything. You're just hearing the conversation across the way. So you don't need to be reminded you're in a restaurant because you already know you're in a restaurant. So if we, at the beginning of the show, I am in a piano bar with my friends from the show, and now they think it, they have a glass of their favorite beverage. We are talking and we're singing, and they know that they're in a piano bar, and then my imagination marries up with their imagination. We are shoving out pianos together like Ferrante and Teicher. We are playing our organs together. Oh, goodness. After this, who's ever on after me should play Jimmy Smith Root Down. He's going to hear some organ. Hello, somebody before or after me played Jimmy Smith Root Down. Oh, that's Beastie Boys. But they also did Root Down. They took it and they put words to it. Jimmy Smith words to Root Down, I think, are, shut up, I'm playing, I think, something like that. But they put, they rhymey ones. Oh, I'm so blessed to be with you. And I hope that this all comes together like that for you. That it comes together in a beautiful mosaic that you can stare into and see what you want to see. And that's beautiful too, because we're collaborating on this. This visit is collaborative. Not just me. You're not just watching me or something. We're dwelling together. We're doing something together. And you have something to do on your end. And if you're doing it right now, no, it doesn't embarrass me. So I just want to tell you that I appreciate you. Oh, you don't know me. That's why. And I can do that. But I can tell you that it is true that, I mean, you don't want to accept it sometimes because you got struggles and everything, but you are lovable, redeemable, valuable, and I hope that your experience is joyous, that the grief and the pain is survivable, because that's the best you can ask. And I hope that this visit in some way has helped you or not hurt you, which is good. It didn't quite hurt. I'm annoyed. That's okay. It's good to be annoyed. That's all right. That's being alive is an annoyance. I don't want to be too unannoying, because that'll get you used to it. And then you won't be able to really cope as well. Oh, blessed soul, my friend, gentle being, and I'm so grateful for you. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Freeform radio, the way you know it from the can. I'm Montfort Sturingham, and that's right. We've got it. You've got it from us to you. Never before seen. And stay tuned. Oh, for Mahogany, unless right. Thank you.
name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. Twins' 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 name was Ebony.